transformation happens at the level of the individual. That's the only place it can happen, because that's where individual responsibility before the Lord is placed. It's how it works. So I'll just make another comment. You know, so we're all given a path to walk, and we all have what we need to struggle with in life. And for some, it's more debilitating than others, at least from a more external kind of view of the situation. Thinking more in a universal sense, in a big picture sense, it's not just about us. My understanding of the way it works is that the particular unique form of mind that each person is has connections in with the grand man and with communities of spirits. And so, you know, there's this interchange between what is more internal, what we can't see, what we're less conscious of, and what is external in terms of our worlds. So as we respond to truths, in logopraxis, we do this work, certainly initially for ourselves, you know, to get ourselves straightened out. That's generally the motivation for interior work to begin with. But then over time, we begin to realize that we're actually just not working for ourselves. You know, what we bring to a group sustains and nurtures an individual in the group, but also the group as a whole. So when we become more conscious of that, what we begin to do then is that we work on ourselves for the sake of others. And as that, and I look at that as love of the neighbor. And as that begins to grow and develop in a person, they become less and less concerned about their own salvation, actually. What starts to happen is that they work for the sake of others. That's all that really matters. And then there's another phase, which is a more universal love still. So within a logopraxis context, we work on ourselves for the sake of others to create opportunities for others to be able to work on themselves for the sake of others. So you have this kind of cyclic aspect to it, a return to the Lord. So, and what is it all about? It's about trying to bring people or creating conditions whereby people can come into a fuller sense of the Lord as the Word. That's really what we, you know, that's why we're here. That, you know, that's why each of us is here. That's why we bring our experience of the text working in our life. That's why we bring it here. We bring it because it's the way the Lord is made visible in our midst. It's the way that we have a connection with things that we wouldn't have otherwise. And so that's within a logopraxis context, but in an even broader context, you know, with those spirits, or communities of spirits that each of us are in contact with, the work we do is important for them. The struggles we have in this life brings us into a connection with a unique organization of spiritual associates that the Lord, you know, the Lord governs this whole process, but he governs it through our willingness to work. So if we suffer from a condition, our willingness to work in that condition has a bearing on the unfolding of the Lord for those we are associated with as much as it will for us. So, you know, that's the beauty of this. You know, yes, we're all limited. We're all suffering from what we suffer from. We all have things that that we have to battle with. But at the end of the day, the Lord's over it all, as I said at the start. And love will out. What is evil and false in a subjective sense has reality, but in a purely objective sense, it's not real. You know, only the Lord is real. And this is the end that he moves us toward through this process. He's trying to deliver us from our proprium, which is hell. But the only way that that deliverance can occur is through this relationship we have with it, which has us tied in and having to battle to extract ourselves. But that's really the Word's journey in us, right? It feels like our journey, you know, like this battle between spirits feels like we are in temptation. Yes. And we have to work with it and deal with it as it manifests before us, you know, and we have to respond to what's arising and all of that. But it's much bigger than what we can see from our, you know, narrow perspective of where our particular state is at any given point in the process. So, so again, it's just, you know, it's just coming back to first principles. You know, the Lord is in control. You know, I can't be God. You know, I can't sort out, you know, in the illustration, I can't sort out the machinations of Washington. And if I think I can, mate, I'm deluded, right? I'm really in trouble. So, you know, that, but the proprium will tell you, you can. You know, because boy, and then there's that sort of, there's that delight in having the anger to get out there and do something. Okay, I'm not saying people shouldn't do anything, but you need to do it because that is what the Lord is calling you to do, not because you think it's a good idea to have the world sorted and governed in the way that you want it, because all of that will just end up with another proprial expression. You know, it's what every utopia becomes, right? Because the Lord is not actually at the center. Spiritual work is not at the center. So, so you know, we have an opportunity in the work that we do to make a difference. Don't underestimate the difference you're making when you choose to take a truth and seek to find the good of that truth through its practice. Massive, massive effect. But it's hidden. You know, it's hidden to the world's eyes. It has a reverberation throughout the whole of the heavens. Whenever that's done, you know, the angels rejoice. You know, they, it's that's really what's going on.